Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The Nativity of our Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. The first thing I'd like to share with you tonight is a little bit of information about the time of Christ's birth. It tells us that Jesus was born when Augustus Caesar reigned in the Roman Empire. He also was born when Cyrenius was in a governing capacity in Syria. He was also born at a time when Herod the Great was the king of Judea. And so we have several notices here that tell us that the birth and life of Jesus was not a once upon a time affair, but it is a real, true, historical event that happened at a particular time and in a particular place. Now, in the book of Galatians, we read this in chapter 4, Galatians 4, 4. St. Paul says this, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." So what the Word of God tells us here is not only that there was a particular time that is set off for us by the mention of very public figures, but that this time was the perfect time. It was the fullness of time. Sometimes people ask, well, wouldn't it have been better if Jesus had been born like in the 21st century when we have all this mass communication? No, because it was in the fullness of time that God sent his Son into the world. He was promised right back from the beginning when Adam and Eve fell into sin, and God promised them that the seed of the woman would come and defeat the devil on behalf of sinful mankind. And throughout the history of Israel, as we read the Old Testament, promise after promise is added and added with more and more detail. And then finally here, the angel Gabriel appears to Zacharias while he is offering incense in the temple and tells him that he is about to be the father of John the Baptist. And then not much longer, in the city of Nazareth, town of Nazareth really, the angel Gabriel appears to a virgin named Mary and tells her that she has been chosen to be the mother of the Lord God incarnate, the Savior of the world. So all of this was in accordance with the plan of God, which no human activity can hinder. The Lord God keeps his word, and it happened in the fullness of time. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, in order to redeem those who are under the law. He came to redeem us so that we could become the adopted children of God. And so when we read in the first verses that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city, we are being reminded here of God's timing, which is always the best timing. And one more passage of scripture from the New Testament. In 2 Peter chapter 1, St. Peter says this, just to remind us, you know, because a lot of modern people think they're too sophisticated to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ with its stories of virgin births and miracles and angels appearing to people and people dying on crosses and rising from the dead. People think that they are too sophisticated. St. Peter says this to the so-called sophisticates of the first century. He said, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." So when you receive the word of the Lord that God gave to the apostles, you are receiving eyewitness testimony to the life, the miracles, the sufferings, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. So the Lord came at the perfect time for you and for me. The second thing I'd like to talk about briefly today is the place. It says here that Joseph and Mary had to get to Bethlehem, not just because they had to go there in order to register for the census, but because the Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem. You say, where is that? I will tell you. The prophet Micah, chapter 5, verse 2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." So there is going to come forth a ruler, and he will be a ruler in Israel, but he's not an ordinary ruler or king. He is a ruler whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So the eternal Son of God, who existed from all eternity with the Father and the Holy Ghost, he became incarnate. But the prophets told us that when he came, he would be born in Bethlehem. Now, here's the problem. Joseph and Mary lived up in Nazareth. So they're like way up there north of Poughkeepsie, right? And they've got to get down to Yonkers, right? And you know, it's even worse than that. So they're way up there. They got to get way down there, and they don't look like they're doing it. Now, God could have appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, take thou Mary and go to Bethlehem and make haste," right? But he didn't. What he does is he uses the events of the ordinary course of human history. It's like God whispers in the ear of Caesar Augustus, you know what would really look good on your curriculum vitae? Yeah, if you held a census. Why don't you hold a census? And Augustus is sitting there and he goes, you know what we need? He says to his flunkies, you know what we need? We need a census. And all the flunkies say, let's get this census going, right? And so, without knowing anything else, Caesar Augustus plans the census. The census is put in motion because he's got the power. When he speaks, the world jumps, right? And so he's got that kind of temporal power. And meanwhile, the Lord God is smiling up in heaven because unbeknownst to Caesar, his flunkies, and everybody else, that census took place in order to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem right on time for Jesus to be born. Now, so the prophet said he must be born in Bethlehem, but he's up in Nazareth with his parents. He's got to get to Bethlehem. So God uses the most powerful man in the world as his instrument and tool to see to it that the Christ, the Son of God, is born in Bethlehem in fulfillment of the prophets. All right, now let's talk about the people. We've got Mary and Joseph. In chapter 1, we learn this, that in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So we learn several important things. Mary lived in Nazareth. Mary was a virgin. Mary was of the house and lineage of David, and Mary was betrothed to a man named Joseph. All right, so this is one of the people in our account, Mary. Now, what about Mary? It says, the angel said to her, you have found favor with God, Mary, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. The Lord is my salvation. Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now Mary is kind of surprised. And she asks, how shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So, Mary, in her womb is the Son of God who has become incarnate. How did the Virgin get to be pregnant, the Holy Ghost came upon her, and the power of the Highest overshadowed her, and so she was with child of the Holy Ghost, and the angel Gabriel reminded her and said, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." And now what about Joseph? Joseph, it often seems that the poor guy was along for the ride. But Joseph is a godly and righteous man who is a man who makes good decisions, and he gives good leadership to his family, and he protects his family, and he is responsive to the word of God when it comes to him. And so Joseph, he was espoused to Mary, and we learn in our gospel lesson that he also was of the house and lineage of David. And so Jesus' mother and his father, in the earthly sense, were both from the house and lineage of David. So Jesus is connected to King David organically through his mother and legally through his father, all right, his earthly father. And so they have to go to Bethlehem because they are descendants of David. That's where they have to be unless they want to make the emperor mad. And you don't want to make the emperor mad. So they went to Bethlehem. And it says of the two of them, it says that she was great with child. So she wasn't in the early stages or middle stages of pregnancy. She was right towards the end of her pregnancy. But we have to look at another passage from Scripture. We read this passage tonight in our Old Testament lesson in Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. All right, so prophecy being fulfilled. Jesus is virginally conceived and born. All right, the next thing I'd like to share with you is a little bit about the circumstances in which Jesus was born. So they got to Bethlehem, and it says, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. So it's not like they got into town and that night she had the baby. They were there for some days because the word of God says that the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And when she did deliver, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now notice this. There's not a lot of detail here. It says that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It says that she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Well, every mother did that to a newborn baby. But she laid him in a manger, a cattle feed box, because there was no room in the inn. And so the situation is one of poverty and difficulty. Poverty and difficulty. And we need to look at what St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. He says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And so here, the contrast between the infant Jesus, apparently helpless and born in great lowliness and poverty, and yet this Jesus can do what Augustus Caesar cannot do. The most that Augustus Caesar can do is answer the temporal needs of his society, and sometimes not very well. But here, Jesus, he comes into the world, he is lowly, he is helpless, and yet he will redeem and save us. By his poverty, he will make us rich. What does that mean? It means that we will have everlasting life in the kingdom of glory. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The manger is a sign of his lowliness for our salvation, but it's also a sign for the shepherds. And that's where we want to go next and talk for a moment about the shepherds. And the question is this: what's so special about shepherds? And the answer is nothing. And that's just the point. God didn't send his son into the world to redeem special people. He sent his son into the world to save sinners. And that includes all of us. So there was nothing special. What? Why? What's the symbolism? What's the significance of shepherds? Nothing. They happened to be awake, right? They were there on the scene. That's it. Nothing special about them, nothing significant, other than they are sinners in need of a Savior, and they were there to be spoken to, and heaven allowed itself to rejoice in their presence. And they were the first to receive the promise of salvation in Jesus Christ. He came for all of us. And the last thing that we need to listen to is, after the angel of the Lord announced the birth of Christ and told the shepherds that the baby who's lying in a manger, that's the sign. When you see him, you've seen God's Christ and your Savior. And when he made this announcement, the heavenly host came bursting through the heavenly vault, and they began to sing, and they said, "Glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." Jesus is God's gift of peace with God and God's goodwill for us, so that when we consider Jesus, we may be sure God wants to be merciful to sinners like us. And that is why we celebrate Christmas. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.